Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I am so glad you've joined us today. It's always a pleasure to be on this journey with you. I know so many of you listen regularly. I just always encourage when you write us and tell us what's on your mind, what's helping you, what's strengthening your walk with the Lord, how you're doing with your finances. Some of you give us feedback that just really helps us get sharper, and I always appreciate hearing from you. If you want to write me, don't forget, you can send it to chuckbentley@crown.org. That's just my full name. It's pretty easy. Chuck Bentley, B-E-N-T-L-E-Y, @crown.org. And let us know how you're doing and what we can do to further help you. I love getting letters. I love interacting with you. I love being on this journey together. And I just got one that really encouraged me because I think so many people are there or may be there. This one says, "Thanks, Crown. In the past 3 years, I've become debt-free. Just in time." I think that's a great point there. Just in time. "As a part of the automotive industry, I've experienced a 35% decrease in my income this year alone." Ouch. And that's what the writer said. Ouch. "But with no debt and a good budget, we're still getting by. At least I still have a job. The company I work for has permanently laid off 75% of our workforce. We went from 1,200 to 300 employees across 3 different plants. Now, realizing everything belongs to God and that He provides, it's a lot more reassuring than placing my faith in someone who signs my paycheck each week. And as a single dad with 2 teenagers, it's a real juggling act at my house. But there's a peace knowing that God's in control of it all. You're in my prayers, Crown, and please keep us in yours." Isn't that a great letter? And it encouraged me. Well, today I want to talk to you about a very serious subject. I want to talk to you today about spiritual warfare, because I believe that you're going to experience spiritual warfare on a personal level if you're truly trying to walk with Christ and to serve Him and be obedient to His financial principles. But I also think we're going to experience spiritual warfare on a macro level, on a national level. And I've said that before, that I think the days are coming when we have to be prepared to suffer for our faith, to sacrifice, to live according to God's financial principles and His ways, not the world's ways. And I think there's 5 key forms of spiritual attack that Satan uses on every single person. And if you've got your Bible, we're going to go through 2 Kings chapter 18 today. Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley,
and we'll be right back. Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going to walk through 2 Kings 18 together. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go there with me, because we're going to talk about spiritual warfare and the 5 key forms of spiritual attack that I think Satan makes, both to us personally as individuals and also on a macro level in this nation. And many of you are on this journey with us in this season of prayer and fasting. And we have said during this time we're going to pray for the Lord to intervene in this economic mess that we're in, and to speak to us in our own hearts and to strengthen us for the days ahead, and to repent of the things that, where we have been wrong, of the sins in our life that would bring us back to God and to go deep in God's Word. And during this time, I've been fasting with so many of you and so encouraged. And I've been going back to some of the key passages in His Word that have meant so much to me. And I started to realize that many of us don't really understand what spiritual warfare is, especially when it comes to finances. Sometimes we don't even know as Christians what that means. And I think we think it's something very, very mysterious that we can't see, feel, or touch, and we just kind of feel disturbed or upset or displaced, or somehow there's this invisible battle going on that we know's there, but we can't see, but, you know, we just don't understand it. But when we go into the passage today, I think we're going to see really clearly that most spiritual warfare is in fact identifiable, and it happens with what you believe. It happens with what you think. It happens in your mind. The spiritual battle is a battle over truth or a lie. And I want to use the example of King Hezekiah. It says in 2 Kings chapter 18 that King Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king. He's a young guy. He's just starting out his journey, but he loves the Lord. He is just doing incredible work as the king. He is full of zeal, and he is totally engaged in God's kingdom. And it says in verse 7, "And the Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook." Now, if that's you, and if you're listening today, and you're one of those who's experienced a lot of joy and a lot of victory in your Christian life, and you've seen great things happen, if that's where you have been, then you're the one who should expect spiritual warfare, because you've got a big target on your back. And that's exactly what Hezekiah had. It says that the king of Assyria was on the march. He was conquering many lands leading up to the land of Samaria where Hezekiah was. And in his 14th year of Hezekiah's reign, so that would make Hezekiah 39 years old, the king of Assyria attacked the fortified cities of Judah, and they came against King Hezekiah and all of his people. Now, here's where the spiritual warfare began. It actually wasn't the physical battle that was about to take place. The spiritual warfare started to happen in verse 17 when it says the king of Assyria sent his supreme commander, his chief officer, and his field commander with a large army to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. They came up to Jerusalem and stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool. And they called for the king, and the field commander said to them, "This is what I want you to tell Hezekiah." And in verse 19 through 21, listen to what he says. "This is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have strength and military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look now, you're depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff which pierces a man's hand and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. And if you say to me, 'We depend on the Lord our God,' isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed?" Here's the first attack. The first spiritual attack always is the enemy comes to weaken your faith. He comes to say to you, "Who are you depending on? Are you depending on God? You've got to be kidding. You shouldn't depend on God. God can't help you. Turn away from God. Doubt God. Doubt that he's good. Doubt that he cares. Doubt that he has anything to do with the circumstances that you're in. You're surrounded by this terrible financial circumstance, and it's going to overcome you, and God's not going to see it, and God's not going to help you, and God's not going to have anything to do with it." That's the first spiritual attack. And if that doesn't work, he keeps going. He's going to look for anything that he can get for you to actually believe. And here's his next attack in verse 23. "Come now, make a bargain with my master." Listen to this. "Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses. Okay, so what he said is don't depend on God. And the second lie, the second spiritual battle, which is universal, I believe, is to compromise. Don't trust God and find some other way out of the problem and depend on the security that the enemy wants to provide for you. So he offered Hezekiah 2,000 horses. Well, that would have been nice to have, and it would have been nice to compromise. But what Hezekiah would have had to do would be to surrender and to compromise and to accept a false sense of security. And I believe, especially in finances, when times are tough and days are hard, this enemy comes to us and says, find a way out, your own way. Put your hope somewhere else. Put your hope in the lottery. Put your hope in a high-stakes gamble in business. Put your hope in the things that the world says that nobody will find out. If you just pull this off, you can get out of this bind my way. Come over and to obey my master. That's the second line of spiritual attack. Now, it gets even worse, because the enemy is going to keep after you until the enemy finds a way to finally take you captive. Because the enemy is never satisfied to get you just a little bit off course. The enemy wants to get you totally confused, totally discouraged, and totally captive. And here's what he says. This is the third form of spiritual attack from the enemy, the third form of spiritual warfare. It's in verse 25. Furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this place without words from the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it. The third form of spiritual attack is when the enemy masquerades as a messenger of God himself and says, the Lord told me that you ought to do such and such thing. The Lord told me that you ought to compromise. The Lord told me that you ought to find your own way out of this problem. That's how deep spiritual warfare goes. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about this one as well as the other two forms of spiritual attack. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about the five key forms of attack when you're going through spiritual warfare, especially when you're going through spiritual warfare regarding your finances. And the enemy's going to come at you in so many different ways. He's going to first try to do a full frontal attack and just simply weaken your faith. And if that doesn't work, he's going to start chipping away and saying, if there's a little bit of doubt, I'm going to ask you to compromise. I'm going to ask you to place your security in something other than God and give you a false sense of security, some other form of asset that you can depend on, something you can touch and feel. And in this case, the enemy offered horses to King Hezekiah, something that was tangible. And then if you don't go for that, then he's going to come in and masquerade as light. And as we said, the third form is to come in the name of the Lord himself. The Lord told me, the Lord himself told me to tell you this. Now, you know how to combat that? Here's how you know to combat that. Listen to what he said. The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it. Well, what does the Bible say? That who came to kill and destroy? The enemy. So anytime that someone comes to you and says, in the name of the Lord, we came to destroy, we came to conquer, we came to suppress, we come to dominate, you know that's not from the Lord. The Lord came to build up and to liberate. The Lord came to set us free. So you can identify that one head on. Now, here's the fourth form of spiritual attack. Hezekiah's commander said to the enemy's field commanders, please speak to your servants in Aramaic. since we understand it. Don't speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people on the wall. But the commander replied, was it only to your master and you that my master sent me to say these things, and not to the men sitting on the wall who, like you, will have to eat their own filth and drink their own urine? Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, hear the word of the Lord of the great king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, the Lord will surely deliver us. All right, here's the form of spiritual attack there. Fear and doubt in your own voice. You see, when he switched from speaking Aramaic to Hebrew, that's a symbol that the enemy will use your own voice, your own language. He'll get inside your head and start to give you unrest through extreme fear and doubt. And he said, it's going to get so bad, it's going to be worse than one of these reality TV shows where there's nothing left to drink except your own elimination. Now, that's a pretty raw statement and a bold statement of how the enemy was trying to use fear in your own mind and doubt to where there's a point where you start to say to yourself, what was I thinking? Now, this is not spiritual warfare. This is me. This is my voice. This is reason. I'm being duped. I made a bad mistake. I did something stupid. This is not satanic attack. This fear is because I made terrible mistakes. Now, that may be true that you made a bad mistake. But what the enemy does is seizes that opportunity using your own voice and in the quietness of your own mind begins to completely erode your confidence in God. And whoever your spiritual leader is, he says, don't believe your spiritual leaders. Don't believe what they're saying. Don't believe that those people who are telling you, you can have confidence in God. Just quietly allow fear to completely neutralize you. And then he goes into the fifth and final attack. And this is the one that I believe is the strongest that he uses in your life and the one that I think he's going to use on a major level in this entire country. After he said, do not listen to Hezekiah, he said, this is what the king of Assyria says, make peace with me and come out to me. Then every one of you will eat from his own vine and fig tree and drink from his own cistern until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life and not death, and do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you. Here is the final form of spiritual warfare. The ultimate false promise of the enemy is peace and prosperity. Think about what he just did. He told you to quit trusting God. He told you to compromise and put your hope in false security. He told you that God himself had sent him, that he had come in the name of God himself to give you this message. And then he started to undermine everything you had confidence in through fear and doubt. And if that didn't work, he used the ultimate promise that most people fall for. And that is for peace and prosperity, the twins that most people desperately want in their life. And when we've lost peace and prosperity, we start to look for it as rapidly as possible in any form possible, and the enemy will make you a false promise and turn the truth upside down and say, if you just come over to my side, you will experience peace and prosperity. Now, how could you believe this person who just threatened you to drink from your own elimination? But knowing how subtle and deceptive he is, he flips it over and says, okay, that didn't work. But I'm going to get you with this one. You're going to have to choose life because life is in me. If you stay where you are, there's death over there, and your circumstances are going to kill you. In other words, real life is not real life, and real death is not real death, and truth is not truth. That he is going to make lies and promises about the two greatest desires that mankind has, and that's where he's going to take the most captives. That's where he will get more people to come over to his side than to stay on the side of God. And that's the promise, the false promise, that you and I have to be prepared to stand against in this very own country. Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk about what Hezekiah did to fight back and to win a spiritual battle. I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going through 2 Kings 18, and we're talking about the five forms of spiritual warfare that we all experience, especially when there's a battle raging. And Hezekiah found himself surrounded by an enemy, a huge army, but the real battle wasn't going to be fought with swords and spears and shields. The real battle was going to be fought or won in the mind, because that's where spiritual warfare takes place. And Hezekiah was being attacked by these enemies, and he took action. It says that Hezekiah tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple. Those are three quick steps. Number one, he got rid of the princely facade that he was some special human. Secondly, he covered himself in sackcloth, indicating humility. And then he went into the temple and said, I need to speak to the man of God. And of course, if you read the rest of the story, the Lord sent Isaiah. And listen what God said through Isaiah. God said, tell your master, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid of what you have heard. Those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Now listen to this. Who did the enemy send? Do you remember that? His supreme commander, his chief officer, and his finest field commanders. And the Lord said to Isaiah, tell him not to listen to those underlings. I love that. You see, Isaiah sorted out where the spiritual warfare was. They were listening to lies. And the Lord said, listen, I'm going to put a spirit in them. And when he hears it, he's going to return to his own country. And I'll have him cut down. He's going to be on the run when he hears my voice. That's how you win a spiritual battle. You put the enemy on the run with the word of God. Now listen what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah went up to the temple of the Lord, and he spread out the letter he had received from the Assyrian field commanders. He spread it out before the Lord, and he prayed, O Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. And you have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the word Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. It is true, O Lord, the Assyrian kings have laid waste to these nations and their lands. O Lord, deliver us from his hand, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. Now, you know what happened? His deliverer was on his way when Hezekiah prayed. And it says that when he arose the next day, 185,000 of those men in the army were destroyed. Now that's bigger than a nuclear bomb could take out. That is a huge, huge response. And all those people who had been lying to the people of Israel suddenly realized that the power of truth was greater than the power of a lie. And the Lord God was victorious. Well, I hope you're encouraged to fight that spiritual battle. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let the enemy defeat you. Take it before the Lord and trust in him. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again tomorrow.